Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 21, continue learning about the life of Abraham and Sarah. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? That I bore him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son, Isaac. But the matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, do not be so distressed about the boy and your maidservant. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the maidservant into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down nearby, about a bow shot away. For she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there nearby, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up, take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Amen. May the Lord give us understanding of his word this morning. So as you know, we're doing a series in the life of Abraham. And last week we learned how he and his wife Sarah moved south and got themselves into a mess. They tried to deceive King Abimelech, telling them that Sarah was his sister. It's technically right, she was his half-sister, but what he didn't tell the king was that Sarah was his wife. and she was put in his harem. But the truth came out, and this couple learned some valuable lessons. Always tell the truth. Don't keep making the same mistakes like they did 25 years earlier. Did the same thing with King Pharaoh. That God is the great provider. God is the great protector. That God is in control and will always love his children no matter what. Unconditionally. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we want to thank you for each one that's come out to this house of worship. We pray that you'll give us understanding of your word and speak to us as individuals, not just as a group. And those that are listening by radio and internet, that they will call upon your name if they're not already saved. Realize that you are the same yesterday, the same forevermore, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us and died in our place so we wouldn't have to be punished. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So having moved from the king's presence and Sarah out of the harem in the palace, Abraham and Sarah were loaded up with gifts. Remember, there was a 25-pound amount of silver plus slaves, servants, and all kinds of other gifts. And Abimelech was just glad to see the back of them both. But he did allow them to live in that area in Philistine country. So they moved out. Shortly thereafter, Sarah became pregnant. How old is she at this time? 90. Now at last, they've been waiting for that fulfillment of God's promise that he would provide a son for Sarah, the chosen seed. 25 years they'd been waiting, but God always keeps his promises, amen? And we may or we may not have to wait a while for God to answer our prayers, but be assured that God will always answer our prayers. Amen? One way or another, he will always answer our prayers. It may be yes, it may be no, but maybe wait. But he will always answer our prayers, no matter what. It says that Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son. Sarah bore him. Abraham was a man of faith. He obeyed God. He did what he was supposed to do. He was told to name the boy Isaac, which means he laughs. He laughs. You remember that because of this name was given to him by the Lord, that when she was told that she would give birth in her old age, she laughed skeptically. Remember that? She didn't believe that God would give her a child in her old age. The birth of Isaac was truly miraculous, wasn't it? An absolute miracle. And just like the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, it was completely miraculous, amen? It was a once-in-a-lifetime event, never to be repeated, amen? But God specializes in the miraculous. Amen? God specializes in the miraculous. Now we're told in verse 4, there's still a bit of an echo, that Abraham followed the Lord as instructed, and he circumcised his son on the eighth day. This cutting away, and we've talked about the meaning of circumcision before, but this cutting away, it signifies a separation of mortal flesh to believing faith in the one true God. Now, this custom, as we know, was passed on to the people of Israel, and they still do it today, and many others, Gentiles as well, but especially the people of Israel, the Jews, the chosen people of God, chosen to be separate from all the other pagan nations of the world. And of course, you know as well as I do that we believers, we Christians, are supposed to be separate from the world. We are to be in the world, obviously we are, but not of the world. Amen? You know that. So it's very practical stuff that we're learning here. Now, at that time of Isaac's birth, Abraham was how old? How old was he? 100 years old. And Sarah was 90. And it's understandable when God told them that she would conceive in her old age, she was very skeptical. Wouldn't you be? But now, having given birth at 90 years old, her joy, her skepticism, turned to genuine laughter, not skeptical laughter, but genuine joy, expression of joy and laughter. And this is what happened with most mothers when they've suffered for 9 months carrying a baby around in their womb and then endure the excruciating pain of childbirth. I know there's modern medicines, you can have shots and all that. But when the child is delivered, that pain gives way to inexpressible joy. When you see for the first time, and you hold for the first time, a newborn baby. So you've got the pain, but then you've got the joy. And this is how Sarah was. Now we see in verse 21 that Sarah, she's still got a pretty good sense of humor. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Now this is funny, because she doesn't consider herself to be old. But she thinks that she believes that Abraham is old because he's 10 years older than her. So that's kind of amusing. She's got a good sense of humor. So Isaac was born, he was circumcised, and the child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. Now this was common practice in those days, in that culture. Throw a big party after the child had been finished being breastfed. So the people, friends, relatives were invited to celebrate with the parents after the child was weaned. Now this could take, this process, it's not like today, this could take up to 18 months, up to 5 years old. Imagine you breastfeeding your child, ladies, when the child is 5 years old, but that's how long it could take, because they believed in that culture that that weaning process, that the child was most vulnerable to sicknesses. Okay, so after the weaning process was over, they would throw this big party and they would celebrate. And people would come and party. So there was cause to celebrate because of Isaac. He was a healthy little boy. But after a while, there was a problem. Isn't there always some kind of problem? Yeah, so there's always some kind of problem. When everything's going smooth and nothing's going on, you know, and then wait for it, something's going to come up, right? And it was this in this case. Sarah saw that the son from Hagar, the Egyptian, had borne to Abraham was mocking. Now, this gives us some insight into Ishmael's character. Ishmael is the son of Hagar, amen? Abraham's firstborn son. As a child, it was trouble from day one. You ever known people to be troubled from day one? That's just a rhetorical question. And he grew up to be a problem and a real rough diamond. A real rough diamond. You ever met any real rough diamonds? Well, God specialized in saving rough diamonds and turning them into saints. But whether he did in this case, I don't know. And this is predicted that he would be a wild one. In Genesis 16:12, he said, he will be a wild donkey. We're talking about Ishmael. That's a nice expression. Imagine being called a wild donkey. And I've met some of those, I'll tell you. He will be a wild, in fact, I rode one in Honduras, but you've heard that story. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all of his brothers. So it's a real problem child, and he was a problem when he grew up as well. But whatever Bible version that you use, this word mocking here, it indicates the same thing. That Ishmael, who was about 13 years old at this time, was bullying Isaac. Some of you may have been bullied in school. He was bullying him. He's 13 years old. Isaac's a little boy now. In some form or another, he was picking on him. Could be he was teasing Isaac because he had some physical impediment that he may have had. He was abusing Isaac in some form or another. We don't know what kind of bullying this was. But anyway, he was picking on Sarah's boy, which was enough for her to want to see the back of him and his mother, Hagar. And she made it quite plain to Abraham that she wants to see the back of those two. Pronto. Verse 10. And she, Sarah, said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman or bond woman and her son. For that woman's son, she didn't even give her the respect to say her name, that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son, Isaac. Sarah still referred to Hagar as the bond woman. Not Abraham's wife. And that's what Hagar was before she became Abraham's wife. She was a slave. Sarah's slave. But remember, it was Sarah who was the one that suggested to Abraham to sleep with Hagar so that she could give birth to a son that could inherit everything that he owned when he died, because she didn't believe that God would provide a son for her. So it's coming back full circle. And so because of Sarah and Abraham, they were not willing to wait on the Lord or believe God to fulfill his promise to provide a son from her womb. That decision to take another wife and give birth to Ishmael only created more problems into their lives later on. Now, we assume that the grass is always greener on the other side. Have you heard that saying? The grass is always greener on the other side. But, you know, when you get there, you find out the grass is the same color. And we realize that we would have been better off to stay put from where we were. We always assume things are going to be, the grass is always greener on the other side. No, it's the same color. Sometimes we're better off staying put and riding out the storm. But anyway, Sarah had had enough. Get rid of him. Now she'd given birth to Isaac. All she wanted was Abraham's inheritance to go to her son, and not the bondwoman, Hagar. But there was another problem. Abraham wasn't happy about getting rid of Hagar or his firstborn son. He loved them both. But even though he knew Isaac was the chosen seed of promise, he still loved Ishmael, his first son. Blood's thicker than water, amen? And he didn't want Hagar to leave either. He didn't want either of them to leave. But because he felt pressurized by Sarah to let them go, even though he didn't want to do it, he really didn't have any choice. Because he wanted to keep her happy. And where mama's not happy, ain't no one happy. Excuse the English, or bad English. Now, this may seem heartless of Sarah to want to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael, but God had a plan. He had a reason for allowing this to happen. He used her to separate Isaac and Ishmael. The one represents the flesh, the other represents faith and the spirit. The two cannot be, they cannot coexist together. You understand? There has to be a separation, like circumcision, a cutting away of the flesh. Now, Isaac represents the chosen seed of faith, where Ishmael, he represents the seed of the flesh. And the two can never cooperate together. Yeah? God says, choose this day whom you will serve. Can't sit on the fence. You know, we're either serving the Lord or we're serving the devil. There's no in between. So the Bible teaches in Galatians, in chapter 5, that we have an old carnal nature that manifests itself with unlawful deeds. And when we're controlled by them, what we do, we put ourselves into bondage. We become a slave to sin. That represents Hagar, the bondwoman. Are you with me so far? However, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can live by faith. And we have the power in us, the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by Him. We don't have to function in the flesh. We don't have to live ungodly lives. We don't have to be in bondage to sin and Satan, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And then now we've got the freedom to choose between good and evil. Amen? See, the unbelievers, they don't have a choice. They don't know any better. They may, but they don't have the power to live a godly life. So, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So we're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves. John chapter 8, 36. So even though Sarah comes across as mean, God had plans for Hagar and He had plans for her son, Ishmael. And to put Abraham's mind at rest, God assured him that he was the one that's going to take care of Hagar, and he's going to take care of Ishmael. And he said that. 12 and 13, he said, do not be distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you. Because he was debating in her mind, should I listen to her? You know, but in order to keep the peace. And God confirms, listen to what your wife says. That's a good thing for us men to remember. Listen to your wife. Most of the time. Okay. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring. Of course, we know that's exactly what happened. Because God said it would happen, and when God says it's going to happen, then it's going to happen. That from Abraham's firstborn, Ishmael, there would come a mighty nation. A people known collectively as the Arabians. Amen? The Arabians. Or the Arabs. Whichever term you prefer to use. So, reluctantly, Abraham had to let them go. He believed that God was going to take care of them. That's what we have to believe. He's not only going to take care of us, he's going to take care of our loved ones. He's going to take care of our loved ones. Amen? He had to let his loved ones go. Sometimes you've got to do that. And what he did, he provided a skin, a container, animal skin, that can, you know, waterproof skin, probably goat skin. Had it filled with water. She carried that on her back. She didn't have anything else to carry. She got a long way to go. That's the only thing she could handle. And she's got a 13-year-old to deal with as well. And they've got a long journey. They had to go through the desert in order to get to their destination. But they almost didn't make it, because the water soon ran out. It's a long trip. Maybe they drank too much of it. Didn't ration it, whatever the case. In fact, it was so bad that both of them were dying of thirst. So, Hagar, in her own mind, they're both going to die. But she couldn't bear the thought of watching her son die. So what she did, took him over to some shade, some bushes. She laid him under there and assumed he was going to die. She really believed that. And then she went some distance away. She couldn't bear the thought of him dying, and she couldn't bear the thought of having to watch him die. Which they were. They were both dying of thirst. So she managed to crawl some distance away and expect the inevitable. And, you know, that must have been really difficult, very hard. And she said that she was sobbing. She was sobbing because it broke her heart. She couldn't bear the thought to watch her son die. Imagine what that must have been like. But also imagine this, what it must have been like for the mother of Jesus, Mary. When Jesus was nailed on that cross, and he was bleeding and he was dying, and his mother was at the foot of the cross, who gave birth to Jesus. Imagine what she went through. Imagine. Now for Hagar and Ishmael, there seemed no hope left. They were both dying of thirst, literally. But God came to the rescue. God came to the rescue. He sent an angel. In fact, there was a cry from heaven. Let's read it. 17:18. God heard the boy crying. He's 13 years old. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid." And Jesus is telling that to you. Do not be afraid, regardless of what happens. Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand. For For I will make him into a great nation. That's reiterating that from Isaac there would come the Arabians. Reemphasizing again that from him there'd be a great nation. And the angel told Hagar not to be afraid. And this reminds me of the angel that came to the shepherds over one night in Palestine over 2,000 years ago and told them not to be afraid. And he went on to say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus. Thank God that Jesus was born. Otherwise, we'd all be lost. There'd be no hope for us outside of Jesus. There was no hope for Hagar. There was no hope for Ishmael. But God heard their cries. And he hears our cries. He hears us weeping. When nobody else does. And nobody else can relate to what we're going through in this life. But one day there'll be no more tears when we get to heaven. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. And they'd given up hope, those two. But God came to their rescue. And God came to our rescue when we had no hope. When we were dying, we were dead. In our trespasses and sins, and we had no hope. But then God sent his only beloved Son, Jesus, into this world to suffer and die, shed his sinless, precious blood to wash away our sins so that we could be forgiven. We are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let me close. Let's wrap it up. Just like a nice Christmas present. And then present it. And then you can take it home. God had a plan for these four people. Just like he's got a plan for us. He loves us. He cares about us. And just like he has a plan for them, he's got a plan for our lives. And even though at times things don't go well, that things may be difficult and things are painful, with God's help, we'll get to our final destination. Just like Hagar and Ishmael got to their final destination. We are on our way through this desert, this veil of tears, to our final destination, which is home. That is our home. That is our home. Not here. We're still living in this tent, but one day we'll have a new glorified body. Like Jesus, resurrected body. Yes, Ishmael and Hagar were dying, and when things seemed hopeless, she closed her eyes, probably in prayer, I'm thinking. And then when she opened them, she couldn't believe what she saw. A well out of nowhere. God's a God of the miraculous. I've already said that. There was this well in the middle of nowhere in the desert, and it was full of cold, delicious, thirst-quenching water. And she was told, give some to the boy who was over under that bush crying his eyes out because he was dying. So she went, verse 19, and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. So Hagar and Ishmael were spared because God had promised Abraham that he would take care of Ishmael. And we learn that he continued to take care of him as he grew up, even though he was like a wild donkey, a rough diamond. God hadn't given up on him. He'd never give up on us. And when he was old enough, doesn't say how old he was, he found a girl. In fact, Hagar, his mother, found him a nice girl from Egypt to get married to. And that's where Hagar was. So Hagar checked this girl out. She gave her the thumbs up and said, she's a good one to marry. Go ahead and do it. And provided a wife for him. Now, but for the grace of God, Ishmael and his mother would have died. They would have died of thirst without that life-giving water that God provided for them at the well. Now, without the life-giving, living water of the Holy Spirit that God provided for us through the death of his Son Jesus, we too would remain spiritually thirsty and die in our sins. And this living water is available to everybody, for those who put their faith, who put their trust in Jesus. And Jesus met with this woman at a well, and she was a Samaritan. And she'd lived an ungodly life because she was a heathen and she didn't know the true and living God. And there, the true and living God was standing right there, talking to her at the well, at Jacob's well. And Jesus said to this woman, who he loved because he loves everybody, saved and unsaved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus said to this lady, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And she said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That is, he is the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is referring to. The living water that only he can give by believing faith in him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this wonderful story and how things turned out, although it was very difficult for Hagar and Ishmael to go through that, and also the emotional struggles that Abraham was going through in order to let them go. It must have been the same for Jesus, leaving the glories in heaven to come to this sin-sick world. But because you love us, you sent him. Because you love us, Jesus, you came. And we thank you that you did. And we can receive the living water. We can receive spiritual life, because we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were blinded by the god of this world and to believe lies, and we would have perished in our sins. But having received you, Jesus, we receive life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God, Jesus, does not have life, the living water. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit living in us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to walk in the Spirit and not be controlled by that old Adamic nature that is contrary to your wishes for our life. Maybe somebody listening to this message, you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior. You need to know that he's the one that can give you eternal life, and he's the only one, nobody else. Nobody else, no one who's ever been born, was born of a virgin who lived a perfect life and suffered a cruel death and died and rose again from the dead, only Jesus. And he did that so that you could be forgiven. So call upon his name and he will save you if you truly believe that he died for you and rose again. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.